But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
Years ago, a friend of mine was an air traffic controller in a town that was located near some mountains. One night he was working, and in the air traffic control tower, he saw a plane on the radar screen that was in a place that he should not be in. It was in the mountains, and it was at night. It was a dangerous place for the plane to be. This was many years ago, and there were not the technological advances that we have today. When my friend noticed the plane in the mountainous area, he called the pilot and asked him if he knew where he was. He was honest in his answer, and he said no. He was in a dangerous position without his really knowing that. I would like to ask you the same question, my friend. Where are you? You may say, well, I'm in my house. I'm at my office. I'm in the field working. I'm on a bus going to school. You say that you know where you are, but I am not talking geographically. Could you be in a dangerous position without your really knowing it? The first question God makes in Genesis 3:9 is, where are you? And you and I must face the same question today. Today, it is not a geographical question or a question about your location. Where are you in your relation to God? Where are you in relation to your sins being forgiven? Where are you in relation to eternity? How do you answer the question, are you in a dangerous place? Where are you in your relation to God? You may say, well, I have a religion. I practice my religion. Religion cannot forgive sins. You may say, well, I am a good person, and I keep the Ten Commandments. I was at a gas station the other day waiting to buy some fuel for a heater I have at home to heat with. As I waited, I began to talk with the man there who was buying some fuel also. I talked with him, and then later I asked him about his relationship with God, and he told me that he had kept the Ten Commandments. Really? Does he think that he has always kept the Ten Commandments? Has he never told a lie? Has he never stolen anything? Has he never envied? Has he always obeyed his parents and honored them? I think we know the answer to those questions. In Romans 3:23, God tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have fallen short. We don't measure up. If we examine our lives by the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, we have to say, I have fallen short. I don't measure up. When Isaiah the prophet had a vision of the glory and holiness of God, he said, woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was also conscious of the fact that he had woefully fallen short. And he says, woe is me, for I am lost. That's how he responded. Isaiah was a prophet, a highly moral and deeply religious man. But when he is confronted with the majesty, glory, and holiness of God, he sees himself as he is and cries out, woe is me, for I am lost. He was conscious of the fact that he had fallen short. There was a family that lived out in the country and had a small farm. Everybody knew everybody there. The wife of the husband was pregnant, and she gave birth to a little girl. Everybody in the neighborhood knew about it. But the years went by, and nobody ever saw the little girl. Even when people went to the house, they never saw the little girl. Finally, one of the neighbors was suspicious and called the police. The police searched the house and didn't find the little girl. They then searched the barn and found a 12-year-old girl living in one of the stables with the chickens and pigs. She couldn't talk, but just made sounds like the animals. The police brought her out, and in the sun that day was shining very brightly. The bright sun made her eyes really hurt because for years she had been in the dark stable and not used to the light. Her reaction was to pull out one of her eyes. She was used to the darkness and couldn't take the sun. It's a little example to help us understand what happened when Isaiah that day saw the glory, the majesty, and the holiness of God. He responds, "Woe is me, for I am lost." He was conscious of the fact that he had fallen short. He saw himself in the light of the purity and holiness and perfectness of God. If you had asked Isaiah that day where he was, he would have answered, "I am lost." The pilot that day said he was lost, and my friend radioed back that he would show him the way out of his lostness. My friend, do you know the way out of your lostness? Can you answer that question? Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, only lost people need salvation. Only people who have fallen short need salvation. Only guilty people need forgiveness. My friend, if you see yourself as innocent and don't think that you need forgiveness, then forgiveness is not precious to you. If you don't see yourself as lost, then you can't appreciate salvation. When my friend in the control tower talked with the pilot that night, and he realized his condition and his situation, he was ready to listen to what my friend had to say. When Isaiah realized his condition, he was ready to listen to the answer to his situation. In Isaiah 6:6, Isaiah realizes that there was an altar there, an altar where there was a sacrifice for sin. My friend, have you heard the words of Hebrews 10:12? He, referring to Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. Let me repeat it. He, referring to Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. He offered himself for sin. He gave himself for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. The Apostle Peter puts it in a beautiful way. Because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He suffered for sins, not for his own sins, because he didn't have any, but for mine and for yours. When you realize that you are lost, when you realize that you are guilty, when you realize something of the holiness and perfectness of God, when you realize that you are facing an eternity in hell, then you are ready to listen to the solution to your lostness. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. What a precious word. And in none other is there salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved. There is salvation, but only in one place. It is in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in me by my good works or trying to be good. It is in him and him alone. What a precious word. And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men, wherein we must be saved. Salvation is not in a religion. Salvation is not in doing good works. Salvation is not in myself. Salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took my sins, who went to the cross, who took your sins, who went to the cross and paid for you. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The question today, my friend, as we finish is, are you saved? Are you forgiven? Do you have the assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven? You need to come to Jesus. Confess your sins to him. Renounce your trust in your own goodness and good works. Renounce your rebellion and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, receive him as your Lord and Savior. And when you are asked the question, where are you? You will know that your sins are forgiven, that you are saved, that you're on your way to heaven, that you are not lost anymore. My friend, there is salvation, but the salvation is only in one place. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in one who never sinned, in one who, after he died, he rose from the dead, in one who could say to his enemies, who of you accuses me of sin? In one who had power over death, one who had power over the devil, one who rose from the dead and lives again today, one in whom I can trust, one who is faithful, one who never fails, one who has never sinned, one who is completely trustworthy, one who is victorious over sin, over the world and the devil, one who loves me, one who loves you, one who gave himself for us on the cross. For Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, the perfect Christ, for the unrighteous, the sinful people, you and I, to bring us to God. To bring us to God. What a beautiful phrase, to bring us to God. I repeat the question I asked earlier, are you saved? Are you saved? Today is the day of salvation, and you can come and be saved today. My friend, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Renounce your trust in yourself. Renounce your trust in your own good works. Renounce your rebellion. Ask him for forgiveness. Confess your sins to him. And surrender your life to this wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him by faith as your Lord and as your Savior. Salvation is available today in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know and have the assurance that you will go to heaven when you die. You can know and have the assurance knowing that your sins are forgiven. You can know that after death, you will be in the very presence of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.